This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicki Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicki understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicki as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Sawyer, how you doing today?
Oh, doing well. Ready for another great episode.
Yeah, me too. I was telling people last night that I had a podcast taping today, and the key word there is I was telling someone yesterday because I was in person with these people. So yes. I have had to start going out into the world post-pandemic, and I don't know about you, but it's weird to be around people after all the isolation and working from home for the last 15 months.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you feeling about that? Because I know you're going out there more too.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, you almost feel like you're doing something wrong. But you're like, oh, I'm fully vaccinated and everybody else that I'm around is too, so there's no issue. But at first it's like, whoa, this is not normal.
I know.
Which is weird to think about.
It's so weird. Our conversation last night kind of led to what I think is something that most people's conversations are going to post-pandemic. And that's like, what did you do during the pandemic? Like how did you cope or whatever? And it was interesting because, I mean, I did some, you know, projects around the house. You know, I think a lot of people did. They cleaned their closets and things like that. And one of the things we got to talking about last night, it was a group of women, was how we cleaned out our closets, and we got them, you know, got rid of clothes we don't wear anymore. And that led to a conversation about sustainable fashion. And I was talking about how I have been selling a bunch of stuff on Poshmark, and they were fascinated by it. And so then I told them about this interview that I had today, and we got to talking about this as well. And so the timing couldn't have been more perfect for our guest today, because we're going to talk about something that I think is a different term than sustainable fashion. Have you ever heard of ethical fashion?
I have not, no. So this is new.
Yeah. And it's something that I've purchased from ethical fashion companies. I am endeared to them, but I just kind of coupled them in with sustainable fashion. So, and in fact, I had done some research when I was preparing for this interview, and it said that in the last year that Google searches for the term sustainable fashion has increased almost 50%.
Wow.
So I think that's really great, because I am a big believer in it. And then I was like, oh, let's see what they say about ethical fashion. And that has increased around 25%. So apparently it's a term that people are familiar with. And so today we're going to talk with Whitney Chukla, and she is the director of U.S. operations with Buy2V, which is a line of clothing produced under the Fair Trade Principles by a team of talented seamstresses in Cambodia, where of course poverty is widespread and the people are more vulnerable to things like human trafficking. And so it's a center for global impact project, which I think is also interesting, because Whitney has been with them for, I think, like 9 years or something like that since she graduated college. And so I want to talk with her about how the Center for Global Impact and Buy2V are connected and the impact that they have on these women in Cambodia, and get her take on really what ethical fashion is. So welcome, Whitney. We're so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I am too. It was a funny road to get you here. I told you before we started recording that one of my team members visits the Buy2V store near where she lives, which is in Franklin, Indiana. And from what I can understand from looking at the website, Is that your only store?
It is, yes. Right. So our the Buy to Be boutique in Franklin is our only store that is solely Buy to Be. But the business itself runs also through wholesalers. So we've got wholesalers around the nation who are also selling our products.
Okay. So like I'd go into a boutique and they might have Buy to Be products, and that's how I could find Buy to Be in another place. So how many states are you in? Like how many boutiques do you have?
Oh my goodness. I think at this point, I mean, we have upwards of more than 80 accounts, and I think we're in over 40 states at this point. So yeah, it was a couple years ago that we really started focusing all of our efforts in wholesale because, and we'll get into this later, but we wanted to really focus on wholesale because the more we sell at a lower price point, the more women we can employ in Cambodia, which is the whole point of why we exist. So that's right. Strategy.
Well, that makes total sense. I mean, I get that. And that's what I garnered from the website. And I want to ask you about how people can find Batavi, where they're listening from, but we'll do that at the end, because what you just said is the next thing I really want to focus on, which is if you can just talk about Center for Global Impact and how it, you know, functions and its relation to Buy2Be.
Yeah, absolutely. So Center for Global Impact is a nonprofit organization that seeks to provide a pathway out of poverty through business development, vocational training, and education. And so it is actually the umbrella organization over Buy2Be. And then we also have two other main projects, a culinary training center and an imprint project. So those, actually all three of them are based, are mostly headquartered in Cambodia, but they all serve different purposes. So Buy2Be though is the sewing workshop then that is more or less owned by CGI. And then stateside is where we then get to tell the story, get to sell the product, and get to share about the artisans that we have in Cambodia.
Your website's great. I'm actually, I have it popped up right now. And it just, it's so interesting to see, I mean, the impact you must have on these women's lives. I mean, I'm just like trying to imagine, and I'm sure you've been to Cambodia and you've seen it firsthand.
Yes.
Can you just speak to that a little bit about the difference that it's made in their lives?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. I've had the pleasure of traveling to Cambodia multiple times over these last 10 or so years that I've been with the organization. And, you know, day in and day out here, I'm in spreadsheets, we're talking numbers and sales and all these things. And so to get on the ground over there and to be face to face with these people, I mean, it really puts into perspective everything that we're really trying to do. So, one story that I like to tell happened kind of early on in my time at Buy2Be and CGI. I was in the workshop with these women. You know, it's an open air workshop, so it's a great environment for them. We got fans going everywhere. And, you know, they're all spread out at their machines and everything. And all of a sudden, I see one of the seamstresses get up because her child is like running out into this busy street because it's on kind of a main road. And she's running and she finally catches them right before she hits the road. And then they wait for traffic, which is just crazy in Phnom Penh. And they cross the street and they walk down a few buildings and she leaves her child there and comes back. I'm like, okay, what just happened? And my boss at the time was like, oh, that's a school. So because she works for us and because she gets a fair wage and gets paid weekly and all of the different things that we do, she's able to send her child to school while she works at the workshop. And that's something, you know, we take for granted here. I mean, for me, I'm actually about to have my first child and I'm already thinking, you know, 5 years ahead to sending this kid to school. And it's just something that you think about. Whereas there, they may or may not be able to send their kids to school because of their income level. And so that was like such a striking moment for me because it was like, okay, like this is actually changing people's lives. Because otherwise, you know, this child would be at risk of further exploitation. Like you said, human trafficking is definitely an issue, but there's also labor trafficking and just people being taken advantage of everywhere. Where there's poverty, there's predators. So we're just trying to kind of create a gap between those things and just break the cycle of poverty at some point so that these kids can get an education and then hopefully go through vocational training themselves and get a consistent job after they graduate. So
it is, it's just mind blowing to think of the things that some can take for granted where others, it just, something like this is just like life changing, like completely life altering. And they look so happy in the picture. You can just tell that it's, you know, it's life changing for them. And it actually seems like it'd be kind of fun, the job, like all these women working together, you know, yeah. And they're their peers and kind of a normalized situation, you know, which I think is also important for these women. So tell me how, you got involved, like you said, with Center for Global Impact 10-ish years. I said nine, you say 10. What made you, lean that way? Because you went to IU, it looks like.
Yeah.
You had some internships that were in social justice. Mm-hmm. So I figure there's a story there.
There is, yes. So, and I'll try to keep it quick because, you know, people's life stories. But I traveled internationally for the first time, I think, when I was going into eighth grade. So again, like I grew up very, very privileged, you know. I grew up in Noblesville, Indiana. And so I went to a great school and we had the opportunity to join a program where we could travel to the Peruvian Amazon for a week and learn about the environment and all these different things. But one day on that trip, we went out to see the natives who still live out in the rainforest. And it was so striking to me to see the conditions that they were living in, but also how much joy and happiness they had out there, just living their lives. And that really, really struck me and stuck with me as I continued to grow and form as a person. And I got very involved with my church, in middle school and high school, and did a bunch of mission trips, domestic and international. But there was always that international cultural component that interested me. And then the desire to help benefit people in other countries who may not have as much as we do. Now that, you know, I think that's very normal when people first travel internationally. Now I feel like having been in this job for a very long time, I see it kind of in a different light. Whereas I think we normally travel to other countries in order to help. Whereas I think there's a lot more reciprocal relationship there than you first realize when that's your experience. And so now when I go to Cambodia, I experience a lot more about what they also give to me in that space as well. Not just us trying to give something to them. But anyway, so I had those experiences early on in life and
sorry, Kona's come to say hello. My dog entered the Zoom call. Sorry. She just was so interested in what you were saying, Whitney.
So of course. So that really got me going. And then after, you know, I went to college for international studies and anthropology. And then post-college, I was working at a refugee immigration organization in Indianapolis. And I had a friend who was traveling to Cambodia with the Center for Global Impact. And I felt this leading to reach out to him. And he connected me to the founder at the time. And they were looking for somebody to help sell these products. And Wow. Now I'm here.
That's such a cool story. Now, I figured there was a story. It was in your heart from, you know, from an experience or something like that. It usually is when someone, you know, makes this this kind of giving an impact a priority. So you said something that really struck me, you know, what you get in return, you know, and I think that that's what's so special when, you know, you're aligned with an organization or a group of people that you feel like you can make a difference. It's amazing what you get back from the giving, you know, and I think that's why people stick with it once they, you know, they start. And then there's, you know, sometimes you hear that whole thing like, well, why don't we just help the people in America, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you do you hear that sometimes and what you respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's hard when people say that, because I mean, I understand that argument as well. Like there are people in poverty here, and they also need a hand up. But I think it's just, we're all wired differently. And so I think, you know, we're a ministry, so we talk a lot about God. And so I believe that God has put on different people's hearts, different needs and different causes. And for us, our cause is international. And if for those people, it's domestic, that's great. And I want to challenge them, you know, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing locally to help impact poverty here? It's just, you know, we all have our different our different callings in life, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. And I think that's a good response, because I believe that and feel that you can learn so much from these international relationships to bring domestically. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I noticed when I was looking at your, I think it's under our story. So the website is bytavi.com, bytavi.com. If anybody's wanting to follow along while we're talking, in fact, but there is a, you can go to ethical practices, and I think that's where it is. And it talks about it's not there. It's under our story, but it talks about the materials that you make things out of. Like, I'm assuming those aren't all sourced internationally, that some of those remnants are sourced domestically.
They're all international.
Wow. That is just super cool. So talk about that part of it.
Yeah.
I find it so fascinating that it's not just, it's like there's several steps in this that is all very ethical. And maybe you can talk about what ethical fashion is versus sustainable fashion, since I touched on that at the beginning.
Right. So yes, our fabric sourcing is one of our biggest undertakings to keep this thing going. And so how we do it is, our workshop and everything is in Cambodia. And really all we do over here is, I mean, not all we do, I mean, it's a big undertaking, is to market and sell the products, obviously. But they make everything over there, so they have to source it all over there. And it first started by going to the markets and the warehouses in Cambodia where they sell the remnant fabric from the factories. Ah. So Cambodia, one of their biggest industries is garment making. And so they've got these huge factory districts, huge factories where thousands of people are employed. But you know, when they don't use all their fabric, they sell it off to smaller sellers in the market. And then we go and we dig through all of these fabrics to find exactly what we need. And so we have an incredible team here and an incredible team there, where when it's not COVID, we've had to actually shop weekly at the market. And so right now it's an 11-hour time difference. So it can be at 8:30, 9:30, 10:30 at night, our time. And then our team in Cambodia over there gets up first thing in the morning, and they just walk around to all the different vendors
Did they FaceTime you in or something?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love this. This is so cool. Really?
Yeah. It's all over Facebook Messenger. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is so wild. And so you're like trying to look at them closely and they're showing you the material and
trying to find the needle in the haystack. Yeah. So we've got, when we go, we have a list of the line that we're trying to make, and we know if we want prints, stripes, different colors, things like that. And then if we need a cotton knit, a sweater knit, it's so detailed. And then what's the most amazing part to me is that By To Be at this point is known for how soft our fabrics are. And that is by the intense effort of both sides of the world, where, you know, the US side knows that soft fabrics sell really well. And the Cambodian side now knows exactly what it feels like and the weight of it and everything. Sourcing fabric is just really, really a tricky thing, even when you're getting it from the factories. So they're doing it all by touch and feel, and we're making decisions by photos, and that's how it works. So that would be, I would say, a sustainable practice that we have at this point, is using remnant fabric or recycled fabric, however you want to say it.
Right.
In COVID, we have, and as the line has continued to grow, we have been forced to consider sourcing from factories direct. And so that has been a whole nother saga, but we have been able to vet factories through other fair trade organizations that have connections and things like that. And so we are able to source a few of our fabrics at this point from factories that have been vetted by ethical organizations. So.
Okay, that makes sense. I like, this is all coming together now. I love the inner workings and knowing the behind the scenes, because I can just imagine like making the list, and then I can see it all happening, and I have this like vision of you like on FaceTime with the women from Cambodia who you've probably gotten to be friends with.
Yeah.
You're like asking about their kids, and they're asking about your pregnancy and all this stuff, and it's just it's so special. It's so special. So that's the part of it that's ethical, right? The ethical part of it is that you are impacting people's lives.
Yes, yes. Okay. So I would say, so the origin of By To Be, I believe, I mean, when I think back to it, it is purely ethical. It's all about the people. So when we first went to Cambodia, we did not have a plan to start a fashion line. That was not the plan. We had, you know, the leadership of the organization travel over there and see a need. And essentially there was a predator who was preying on this village of people, of families and young girls. And we looked around and we said, okay, what do you know how to do? Like, what can we do in this area to give you a hand up? And so the majority of these women, because they were living near the factory district in Cambodia, they knew how to sew or had experience sewing. And so what we did was we invested in sewing machines for them, and we asked them to make us pillow covers, like just easy pillow covers. We brought them back to the States, and people actually really wanted to buy them and support the mission as they heard about the story of these women. And that is what created the fashion line that we now have, you know, so many years later, was really just looking at the need and saying, okay, what resources are around us right now that we can use to help benefit these women? And so that, I believe, is what is explains, you know, how the ethical part of it works. Is it, we didn't go to make a fashion line and make a profit on clothing. We went and we said, these women need help.
What can we create?
What can we help create? What strategy, what can we put around them to help them out of poverty? And it just, this is how it happened.
Right. Well, and then also born out of that desire to help was the Culinary Center and the other impact something.
It's the Imprint Project.
Imprint Project, which are on, you know, I love it. They're also explained on the website. Do you have a role in those two as well?
I do, not as much. I'm aware of them and I'll visit them when I'm there. The Imprint Project is a project that is also in Phnom Penh, in the same city as Bai Tavi. And those women are rescued from trafficking situations from partner organizations. And they're put into our program to do, you know, basic education, Khmer, which is their language, and then vocational training for sewing. So when they graduate, if there's an opening at the Bai Tavi workshop, and if they have a desire to, they're able to join the Bai Tavi workshop. So that's like a good connection there. Whereas sometimes the women actually would prefer to open their own tailor shop, go back to their province with their family and open their own shop. And when they want to do that, we support them as much as we can, and follow up with them to make sure their business is doing well, and that they are doing well. And then the Culinary Training Center is actually about 4 hours away in a city called Bottom Bong. And so it has both components to it, where it has the restaurant, so the business side of it, and then the vocational training part of it as in our Culinary Training Center. So again, we work with an at-risk population there, where we build relationships with local villages. And then the students come into the program, and at the end of the program, if we have openings, they are able to work at the restaurant, but they also have an internship opportunity where they can get connected to local hospitality industry in Bottom Bong. So those are the cliff notes of those other programs.
I love that. So basically the way that our listeners can help is by finding out where they can buy Bai Tavi clothes, which I will say, like, I've really been, well, with the pandemic, I mean, I've pretty much worn sweatpants and t-shirts, right?
I know.
Your clothes look like they fit that bill of comfort.
We do try, yes. Our keywords are versatile, casual, and comfortable. So we want people to be able to wear them at home or at play. That's the hope.
And they're just like, if I were going to buy something new, Bai Tavi is what I would consider. In fact, I told my coworker, I'm coming to Franklin to look at the store. I want to hear how people can find out where there are potential wholesalers. Is that how you call it? Retailers who buy wholesalers.
Yeah, you're right. So if you go to buytv.com, there's actually a tab that says wholesale, and then it says visit our retail partners. And there is a map of the United States, and you can see all of our different buyers that have purchased from Bai Tavi. So you can find them that way. And their names pop up. You can click on a state, and it will give you the specific address and everything too. So we try to make it easy. And then it's also
online too, because I was looking at the sale and all that. You can just buy online.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Buytavi.com is a great place to go to. You know, at the beginning of COVID, it was part of our strategy at the beginning of 2020 to really blow out our website. And then we really had to blow out the website. So that's been
survival.
Right. That's been really developed over the last a year or so, especially in COVID. And we've seen a great response. So that's another way.
That's cool. I wanted to end this interview by telling you that while we were talking, I went on to Poshmark and I put in Bai Tavi. And girl, there's a ton of Bai Tavi stuff listed on Poshmark, which to me means you made it.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, seriously, like, people are like, you know, I'm listing my Bai Tavi for, you know, for resale. So I think that is super, super cool. I'm so impressed by the whole, from start to finish, nuts to bolts, what's going on with Bai Tavi. I hope that people will check out your website and where they can go look at things in person, because it's super cool. It's a great way of looking at how we're all connected in some way, you know? and takes a village or whatever.
It truly does. Yes. Yeah. Well, and I wanted to also mention, if you don't mind, that as a nonprofit, we always have sponsorship opportunities and volunteer opportunities. So for Bi2B specifically, we have a holiday fashion show called Red Runway that happens in November.
Oh, I got to write this down.
Cool. It's a great event. It's a holiday fashion show where we release the spring line. So people get a sneak peek of that. And then we also have the fall line, obviously, that is on sale right then. And we have got great deals going on. And this year we're planning it to be both hopefully in person and virtual. We have corporate sponsorship opportunities there, as well as volunteer opportunities to help us plan before the event and even help us execute the sales pack, like the shipping and stuff after the event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then CGI has our annual banquet in, I believe it's October this year at the Lucas Family Estate, where again, we're always looking for corporate sponsors, but there's always volunteer opportunities again to help us secure auction items and things before the event, and then even help set up event day. And both of these events are just so much fun. And it is such a great time for us to all collectively get together. Like you said, it takes a village, and remember why we do what we do and get to tell our story and get other people on board with what we're doing. So those are two great opportunities.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned those. I love the Lucas Family Estate. That's a good, what a beautiful place to have an annual banquet. But I wrote down both of those dates. I think the other gal who helped set me up with you is the marketing person. I'm going to reach out to her and make a couple of introductions for people I think it'd be good for her to know.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you.
But anyway, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on here. For the sake of Sawyer, do you carry men's clothing at all?
Not yet.
I know, Sawyer, you were just chomping at the bit over there.
Yeah, I'll keep my eye open.
Yeah, you can invest for your mom for Christmas.
We've
tried to dabble in men's clothing, and it's always on the back of our minds, so we'll see what happens in the future.
there you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Is there anything else? I think I said it's bi2v.com. Mm-hmm. And which is .com because you sell things, but it's a non-profit. So just remember that it's bi2v.com in this case. Mm-hmm. Any other, are you on Instagram and social media?
Oh yes. Okay. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. Yep.
All right. So our listeners, that's where you can find out more. Thanks, Whitney.
Thank you so much.
I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review, or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. And until next time, take care in business.